This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome. In the next 60 minutes, everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. What a night for the Dons, a European night that was right up there with the best, with the 2-1 win at Groningen. We'll have the best reaction and look ahead to next week's trip in San Sebastian. And whilst Aberdeen rightly dominate the show, we'll look ahead to the domestic season and the Commonwealth Games. All that between now and 7 when Stu's back for In Demand, right here on the official station of the Dons, North Sound 1. It all starts right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First though, as always, to the Dons, and speaking after last night's fantastic victory, here's boss Derek McInnes.
Thoroughly deserved. I thought we showed a load of different aspects to our game. You know, I thought we showed pace and invention on the break, you know, good confidence in the final third at times. And then when it was required, real resolve, determination and organisation to see the game out, because, you know, we get two goals up and we threatened again after that. We lose a poor goal before half time with two or three opportunities to clear the danger, and it gives them a lifeline, really. It gives them a wee bit of impetus going into the second half, and they made a couple of changes. You know, they go 4-2-4 effectively and go really direct. You know, they start sailing the ball forward from back to front and ask questions of us at central defence. So I think once we get the extra header in there and we go to a back five and we're two midfielders allowed to just to go against their two, the game settled down for us, and I thought the last 25 minutes was quite comfortable. So other than a 20 minute period where they had a bit of momentum, I thought it was a very comfortable night's work and a lot of good work, but I'm not surprised. I felt we could get the result, and for nitpicking, we probably could have scored another couple when they were gambling on us. I don't think there was no individuals that stood out, but I mean, I thought Anderson, Constein in the centre of the three, second half, Reynolds, you know, that pace on the outside of the three, Johnny Hayes then becomes your wing back, and you know, I thought Shea Logan on the side, you know, when we had to really defend, we defended well. We restricted them a few shots from distance, and saying that, they've got players who are capable of scoring from distance, and Jamie had to be on his mettle a couple of times. But you know, I thought it was no more than we deserved. We always felt we could come here. The onus was on them to try and find the answers. And I thought, like I said, that we were very comfortable for long periods. I expected us to defend well. I expected us to keep within our shape, and I expected us to break well. You know, we said that we wanted that first pass to be forward when we won possession, and no, we really looked for that, and we were quite incisive with our work. Passed out a couple of opportunities before we score. But the boys, you know, carried out their work really well tonight, and I think they got what they deserved. I thought there were some really strong individual performances, but throughout it all, there was different aspects. There was good individual play, but a lot of real team determination is we're known for these boys. That's why we love managing them.
Very good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott. Joining me tonight with John Mellis, still enjoying what seems like an elongated holiday, or elongated holiday anyway. Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. First of all, Dave, one of a real... Now you were obviously at the St Johnstone match watching Saints go through, but a real top night as far as the Dandies are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. A magnificent performance. Very, very disciplined. And Aberdeen, by all accounts, kept their shape very, very well when, you know, Groningen in the second half, they went, you know, they really went for it. They almost went with four up front, and then Derek changed to like a back five, and that seemed to contain things very well. You know, this Aberdeen team, they're growing and they're maturing constantly.
And Andrew, tactically, there were some fans last week, we spoke about it, about how Derek said it was half time. He was proved absolutely spot on in his assessment and spot on with his tactics.
Yeah, I mean, we said last week, you know, at Pittodrie, the important thing was to ensure that there was a zero against the Groningen team at the end of the 90 minutes. That's what happened. OK, it was disappointing that we didn't score, but we always felt confident of getting goals, or a goal at least, out in Holland, and to get two was a bonus. I must admit, I would have predicted 1-1 last night, had I been asked, but 2-1 fantastic victory for Aberdeen. And as Dave said, you know, a very, very mature performance, I think, from Aberdeen. I thought Derek got, as you said, got all the tactics right, made a very good switch, taking Peter Pollitt off after, what was it, 66 minutes, something like that, yeah, bringing Barry Robson on, yep, who slowed everything down, kept possession of the ball well. Once or twice you thought, oh, no, he's running a cell into trouble, but he's a master at being able to hold on to possession and then draw a cheap foul from the opposition. Just takes all the pressure off the Dons. But I thought at the back they were very solid. Jamie Langfield was excellent. I know people had a wee bit of a gripe at him about the goal. It's not Jamie's fault that the goal was scored.
It was losing possession in midfield.
Exactly. They should have cleared their lines better. But, you know, that's one of the things that will be pointed out to them, and they will learn from that. But I thought he made some excellent saves, particularly that one with his feet from Deleu, when it looked as though that was going to be the equalising goal. And that really did take the stuffing out of Groningen, I thought. But on a night where it was difficult to pick out real stars because there were so many wearing red, I thought Johnny Hayes was absolutely immense, both in defence, from the time that he knocked that header off the line in the first few minutes to ensure that the home side didn't get the start that they were looking for, to the way that he won the penalty, to the way that he took the ball and, you know, drove it at the Dutch defence whenever he had the opportunity to, and then slotting in his left wing back for the latter part of the game. Absolutely brilliant from the wee man. But it was a night where it was a team performance, and it would be unfair to pick out one as man of the match. But I did think that his performance was right up there with amongst the best you've seen from an Aberdeen player away from home in Europe in recent years.
Well, it was the run near the end was reminiscent to the game down at Motherwell in the League Cup last year, where you had only a few minutes left, and it was such a lung-bursting run. It was like somebody who was just fresh on, and of course then Niall over at the pass to him, and Johnny couldn't get there. But it just shows the engine in Johnny, and not just Johnny, Ryan Jack, Willow Flood in the middle of the park, where you know, everybody, as Andrew says, there wasn't difficult to pick out a man of the match because there were so many candidates. Russell Anderson again leading by example with some last ditch challenges, and I think the save from Jamie, that was very much a game turner, as Andrew said. Really, after that, I think they knew they were a beaten side. They had two goals to get for more than half of the game. They didn't look, as soon as that save went in, they did not look like scoring one, never mind two.
Yeah, the manager's very big on sports science, and that has certainly given Aberdeen a huge advantage over teams with the fitness and the strength and the stamina. You know, we've touched on this so many times, haven't we, throughout games. You know, how often do Aberdeen end up looking, you know, better than they did at the beginning? You know, they finish stronger even than they started. They just seem to get stronger as the game goes on and as the season goes on. Tactically, you know, fantastic as well.
Yeah, and mentioning sports science, it was a big week for Graham Kirk because his wife gave birth to their second child Wednesday night, a baby girl. So he actually flew yesterday morning from Edinburgh, arriving here in Veen, and to do his duties, but he was pretty shattered by the end of the day. So quite a day for him.
Congratulations to Kirky.
And of course, it means that his daughter shares a birthday with Jim Leighton. So there's something.
What an honour.
What a burden to have to
just
bear.
Only 70 years difference.
Wow. Right,
more reaction. Let's hear from Jamie Langfield, who felt that Groningen were somewhat complacent ahead of last night's game.
Inside their camp, they'd written us off, but we knew ourselves what we're capable of. Obviously, we think we let them off the hook a little bit back at home, but we came here and we got the job done. And every man in the pitch put in an incredible shift, and it was great to be in the next round against Sociedad.
Fantastic atmosphere in the stadium, but when it went 2-0, 80%, 90% of that stadium was stunned into silence.
Yeah, it went a bit quiet, but we knew if we got in front and got ahead that we could silence the crowd, because we knew they were very, very loud. But our fans were amazing. We had them all through the full 94 minutes, so unbelievable credit to them coming here in the numbers and cheering us on, and they certainly helped us today.
and now they've got to fork out even more money to go to Spain. But what a mouth-watering prospect now.
Yeah, it's another one of those great nights, and we're all excited about it. We knew when the draw came out, everybody tipped Groningen to maybe playing Sociedad, but we've got a squad down there that believe in our abilities, and we knew we could get there, and we're really looking forward to it. And the manager said that he's got great belief in the players and the squad we've got, and as you say, that was the hardest one there, and then we get the next one, it just got harder. So if we keep getting harder, hopefully we keep on getting better, and as we say, we don't want this European run to end, and we'll go to Sociedad off a really back of a really good result, and hopefully we can go there and do something and take it back to Pittodrie with a lot to play for.
This is North Sound One's Friday Sport. Lots more reaction to come from last night's fantastic victory by Aberdeen after these.
North Sound One Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine. Specialist hose integrity management services for the oil, gas and petrochemical industries.
North Sound One. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Welcome back to Friday Sport. Before we get more reaction to last night's game, let's get the goals that were on Red TV. I was joined by Mal Panton, and Mal certainly had his part to play in describing the action.
That's onside again. Go Johnny on. Hayes, it was Shea Logan. Still Johnny Hayes runs into the area, gets the ball until it's still Hayes down. That's a penalty!
Yes!
Rooney versus Pats as the boos ring out. Forward comes Adam Rooney.
Yes!
Rooney with number six as the Aberdeen fans across go absolutely wild, and the corporate guys away to our right as well. And Adam Rooney, six goals for the season, and well, this crowd, the vast majority, absolutely silenced, and we were getting a few funny looks from our left as well there. But do we care? Do we help? Back it comes from the head of Considine. No offside as Rooney goes forward. Off the bar, still back with Niall McGinn, and it's in.
Yes!
It's in!
Yes!
Niall McGinn with the goal, his second of the season. The Dons bench go mad. The corporates go mad. We go mad as well a wee bit. And we've now played 32 minutes. And would you believe it, FC Groningen 0, Aberdeen 2.
I think Mal was in his own time zone there because he was...
Good delayed reaction there, Malcolm. Well done, son.
But it was...
That's what happens when you spend most of your life in your bed, I think. Your reactions aren't quite as quick, but no, great memories. I obviously wasn't there, but I watched it on television, and I must admit, the second one, it was a bit of a delayed reaction as well. You're thinking, that must be offside, they stopped playing. And then, no, it's not offside. And it comes back off the bar, and you just think, come on, somebody stick it in. And they still hadn't reacted to it.
Schoolboy error, so you
absolutely.
Played to the whistle.
He played the whistle, and the referee was happy with the goal. We were all delighted with the goal, but I have to give credit to the referee for his performance last night. He wasn't taken in at all by the fact that, when they went behind, the Dutch were very willing to throw themselves to the ground in the box, hunting for penalties, and he wasn't suckered by any of that nonsense. And it was good to see that, he dealt with everything. Although, I think Derek McInnes, judging by his reaction to the penalty, felt that there should have been some sort of card given to the defender, because if the guy hadn't pulled Johnny down, he was straight in one-on-one with Sergio Pats. And
technically, it should have been a red card.
In the cold light of day, now that we've
won
the game
2-1,
it's okay.
And again, in the build-up, Groningen players perhaps playing into Aberdeen's hands a wee bit with some of the comments.
Yeah, to come out and say something daft like, the job's 80% done, just because you've got a 0-0 draw away from home in that first leg last week, that is stupid. That is just so arrogant. And, it's the oldest trick in the book. The manager uses that to wind his own players up. Not that Aberdeen players needed motivating, but the players did admit afterwards, and the manager touched on it as well. That certainly did anger them, and they were determined to throw those words straight back at Groningen for their arrogance, and indeed that is what happened.
Absolutely. Well, we've heard from Jamie Langfield that he mentioned it, but Johnny Hayes, he was also unhappy at some of the pre-match comments coming from the Dutch camp.
I think it's quite disrespectful. I know we had a tie a couple of weeks ago. We were 5-0 up after the first leg, and we still wouldn't have came out and said the tie was over going into the second leg. So, yeah, we were a bit riled up by that, to be honest. There's nothing obviously Bonner can do about it now. It's not a league that they can play us again, but we were a little bit disappointed. I thought it was quite unprofessional for them to come out and say that, but it's, as I said, it's that we didn't need extra motivation, but it's there. You can take it whatever way you want. Personally, I was quite happy ramming their words down their throat. The managers, after the World Cup, the managers just told me to watch Arjen Robben a bit more and get a bit more involved in play when I'm on the left wing. So the space was there, I thought, and obviously Shea's played the ball in and managed to get in the box, and he's caught me, and as soon as he's caught me straight away, I thought Adam was going to take it away. And I've got that confidence in him, obviously I've known him a few years now. He always steps up to the plate, especially with penalties. And obviously getting a goal then a few moments later when I reacted quickest, felt not dreamland, but I know we weren't surprised, but it was a good feeling knowing we were 2-0 up. We had to concede three times, and to be honest, I think Groningen could have played all day and he wouldn't have scored again. Obviously the draw was last week and people are speaking to us about it. I think people are optimistic that we'd come through tonight, but we are fully confident. We kept a clean sheet up at Tawdry last week. We knew if we had to score a goal, Groningen had to score two, and with the defence we have, with the captain Marshall and the rest of the boys, that I personally am very confident that we'd go through.
And now McGinn praised the Dons squad ability to keep going right to the final whistle.
The thing is, we obviously came back early, and it just shows you the fitness of the guys. We kept going to the 90th minute, and you've seen the last couple of minutes we had the ball in their park, and we're keeping the ball, and the fitness all over. We knew they were going to have large possession, which they had, and we knew we'd have possession as well, and once the chances came along, we took them, and we probably could have maybe one or two, but they obviously could have maybe had one or two as well. But from Jamie the whole way through the team to Adam, I thought all the lads were first class.
It's been a big team talk for manager at half time, because we were so much in control, and all of a sudden, bang, they get the goal, the momentum's with them. What did he say?
I think he was disappointed, like the rest of us. We played well, and we defended well for what, 43 minutes, and we conceded a goal just before half time. And I think it's always a disappointing thing to concede just before half time, but the manager just brought the crosses. He wanted much more the same first 43 minutes it was, and I think for the second half they came at us, and they're probably a bit more direct, and they created a few chances, but we defended well, and we did have probably maybe a few chances ourselves that we probably could have done better. But on another night, if we had took 2-1 before the game, we would have took it.
It's interesting, the dressing room afterwards, there's no celebration, like everybody's just absolutely shattered, aren't they? Just shows you the shift you had to put in.
Yeah, all the boys were absolutely knackered, but it's a knacker of excitement, and to see the atmosphere sort of after the game, going over to the fans doing a cool down, it just shows how special these nights are, and we want more of them. So it's great that we've obviously got a big one now against Real Sociedad.
Yeah, this finally, Manel and Winton really had a chance to think about it, but it's going to be a fantastic occasion, isn't it, next Thursday?
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable. It's one we have to look forward to, but it's one we have to go and just give it everything. And the best that we can do is obviously go there and get a positive result. And yeah, it's going to be another big night and another big European night. So hopefully we can get a good result that we can take back to Pataudry.
Niall speaking to Mal and Lisa putting her tuppence worth in the background, like all good women.
Of course.
So, Dave, we moved up a step from Riga, a sizeable step for Groningen. Same again now, but, confidence breeds confidence, and Aberdeen will be going to San Sebastian next week full of that confidence and believing that they can get a result.
Of course. Well, that is the belief, Dave, that the manager has instilled in his squad. From day one, he is they're confident that they can beat any team on any day. And obviously we're not going to win every game we play, but the manager has got the players believing they can beat anybody, and they'll go out against Real Sociedad believing that they can beat them. There's no point in turning up otherwise.
And Sociedad, they don't. This will be their first competitive game of the season. They don't start their domestic season till later on in August. So it's with four games of a competitive nature under your belt, you're going there a wee bit more match tight than your opponent. So probably best perhaps to have the away leg first.
Yeah, it might be, because you know, you're going to know what you've got to do on your home patch, rather than have to try and take the game to them on your home patch and set the wheels in motion towards a victory. But Real Sociedad, seventh in La Liga last year. Everybody bangs on about how the Spanish league is the best league in the world now. Okay, they spend more money than anybody else, but it's still largely a two-horse race between Barcelona and Real Madrid. Okay, Atletico won it last year, and every now and again somebody comes out of the pack and wins something, but it is largely, like Scotland, a two-horse race. Well, this is before the Rangers disappeared off the face of the earth. I'm not convinced that, you know, we should be overly worried about Sociedad. They've got a better squad. Looking at the transfer market value of them, according to one website, they're worth £132.7 million, compared to Aberdeen being worth £8.12 million. So you'd think there's a huge disparity there, but I don't think there will be on the park because, you know, as you rightly say, we've had four competitive games. They haven't. And you look through their squad, and there's one or two names that I recognise. There's the guy Carlos Vela that was at Arsenal, Mexican international. Antoine Griezmann, who played in the World Cup with France.
Who's been tracked by
Tottenham.
Clubs, yeah.
Yeah. And Haris Seferovic, a Swiss striker, scored the winner against Ecuador in the World Cup. So it's a better squad because, let's be honest, Groningen weren't that brilliant. They were much better than Riga, obviously, but they weren't an outstanding Dutch side. But I would argue that nor are Sociedad an outstanding Spanish side. It will be a step up, but let's not go in there with any inferiority complex. We've shown what we're capable of doing away from home. Let's go and do it again.
Okay, what do you reckon the score? You were, I don't know if you were moaning, you mentioned that you didn't get the chance to predict the scoreline for last night.
There.
So what's the score going to be Thursday?
On Thursday, I would think if we can come away with the game still in the balance, i.e. only at most a goal behind, if we were to lose 2-1 out there, I would think that would be a good result for Aberdeen. So I'll go 2-1 to Sociedad.
Dave?
I will go for a 1-1 draw. I fancy Aberdeen to rise to the occasion. They stepped up in class a couple of notches in between Daugava, Riga and Groningen. It's going to be the same story again, but Aberdeen, I believe, will get better as this tournament progresses.
Well, I'll go with you then for a 1-1 draw come Thursday evening. You're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport ahead of 7. More football chat and the Commonwealth Games all here in just a moment on North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Welcome back. It's 6:35 almost. The Dons through. And Dave, you were at McDermott Park last night. And St Johnstone made it heavy weather for themselves, but they're through as well.
Yeah, St Johnstone against Luzerne. And they looked a very decent side indeed. They outclassed St Johnstone for large chunks of that game. But what you cannot deny is that, you know, St Johnstone's fighting spirit, their attitude, their work rate, absolutely outstanding. They covered every blade of grass, and, you know, who can begrudge them a famous penalties triumph? An electric atmosphere at McDermott Park, that's not an expression that you hear very often, to be fair, but, you know, the fans got right behind the team. They worked so, so hard. And, you know, they held their nerve brilliantly. And, you know, well done to Tam Scobie for having the coolness to step up and hit home that winning penalty kick to seal a very memorable 5-4 triumph.
Joy in Perth, not so in, from a Scottish perspective, in Iceland. And really, that was a poor, poor result for Motherwell.
That's a dreadful result for Motherwell because that, on paper at least, was far and away the easiest of the ties for the three Scottish sides in action last night. And, you know, they must be wondering, you know, where did it all go wrong? Because they were 2-0 up in the first leg after 19 minutes. Then Keith Lasley gave away two penalties. That was it, 2-2 in the first game. They led again last night twice. Lasley gave away another penalty and they end up losing an extra time against a part-time side from Iceland. And, you know, you just wonder, what is that going to do to Motherwell's confidence going into the new season? Now they've got the problem. They've got a couple of weeks to play or to kill before the new season starts. They've got the difficulty of trying to organise friendlies to keep their players match fit. And they certainly didn't make any money out of that tie at all. They'll have lost money. So all round, a dreadful European experience for Motherwell.
Some may say karma.
yes. I'm a believer.
You said that gleefully, yeah, Dave.
I'm a believer in life in general. What goes around comes around.
But actually, to be honest, the manager hinted in his pre-match this week that he's now glad that we played the two competitive games in Riga, because he would prefer to go into the game against Groningen having competitive games under your belt
definitely.
Than not.
Oh, definitely. But, you know, I don't know whether we would have been drawn against Groningen. Would we have been seeded in the second qualifying round? I'm not sure, but that's by the way. But now, can I just add congratulations to St Johnstone. Spartak Trnava up for them next after they beat Zestafoni from Georgia, I think it is, 3-0. They've played four games because they beat Hibernians of Malta in the first qualifying round. And that'll be a tough one because it's a largely unknown side for Saints, but they're at home first, so important that they do what the Dons did and don't concede at home, and then they've got a chance, because look at their away form in Europe, it's been magnificent. They won in Rosenborg, they won in Minsk, they drew in Lucerne. They won't have any fears about going away from home. They have the difficulty of trying to kill sides off at McDermott Park, but if they can get a win next Thursday night down there, they've got a great chance of going on.
Okay, the Dons are in action again tomorrow. It's a big testimonial match at Harlaw Park in Varuri for Loco's Neil McLean. And ahead of the game, the man himself caught up with John Innes.
Being from Old Meldrum, and Varuri's a local Highland League team, and you know, I've played with some great players, great managers, played under, and we've also been lucky that we've had a success over the 10 years. A little bit of a barren spell in the middle, but you know, certainly early on, two qualifying cups back to back. And then a few years later, we had two League Cups back to back, which you know, anybody that plays a game wants to win trophies, and it's been great to win it here at Inverurie.
You've played under managers with different personalities and styles. We're thinking of John Gardner, who you signed for, then Kevin and Doug Will, Dave Cormie, and now Kenny Cole and Scott Buchan. And what's been the differences over the years?
It's a hard question to answer. I mean, I think you take something new from every manager you play under and the way they want to play the game. And I think, you know, the last 4 years, obviously, it's been the longest spell for a manager that I've had at Locos with Scott and Kenny, and, you know, the way that they want to play attacking football's kind of brought the best out of me, and certainly playing now in a position that I think favours that, and where I enjoy, and I'm going to enjoy being part of the game the whole time. But they've all been great. I mean, you always have your ups and downs with managers, you have your ups and downs with players, but at the end of the day, you know, everyone's been great and everybody's been wanting to push forward with the club.
The quality of players you've played alongside as well, some have been also awarded testimonials for their loyalty, like Sir Stephen Park, Craig Ross, Roddy Messon, Tommy Wilson, some great players, but as well as that, the squad at the moment looking very, very good as well.
Yeah, I think you've you know, hit the nail on the head there. There's been a few guys over the years have, you know, been awarded testimonials. You know, Kenny and Scott have played themselves here for you know, 10 years and been involved with the club for more than 10 years. So it's a testament to the club that they're grand testimonials. But like you say, you know, we've got a good squad here just now. It's probably up there with the best squad that we've ever had in terms of quality, in terms of depth, and, you know, excitement moving forward. So, yeah, it's there have been some great players over the years. A lot of different players have, you know, you've seen come through over the 10 years, and just taking something away from everything that they've had as well.
And that game, of course, tomorrow at 3 o'clock kick-off. So all the best to Neil for that one. I'm popping along to that, Andrew. And weather forecast is great. The Dons are on a high. There will be some of the boys who were on the bench last night likely to be featuring. So there'll be a mix of young players and some of the guys. There is a chance, for instance, that recent signing David Goodwillie could make an appearance, which would be great, I think, for Neil and for Locos, because guys like that, they're the bread and butter of football, and they deserve their day in the sun, quite literally in this
quite
case.
Quite literally, yes. I mean, so best wishes to Neil, and I hope there's a big crowd turns out there at Harlow Park. But yeah, a chance for some of the guys, as you say, that didn't play the full 90 minutes last night to just stake a claim, because believe you me, everybody at Pittodrie will want to be in that plane next week.
Absolutely. Right, time for another break, but would you believe the Scottish domestic season gets underway tomorrow, and that's up next.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoor and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport. To be ahead now, the Blue Toons domestic campaign gets underway with a clash at Montrose tomorrow in the Petrofac Training Cup. Here's boss Jim McAnally.
Well, looking forward to it. Pre-season is not my favourite time of year. We've played six friendly games, and you know, you can come up against all sorts of problems in them, as you know, with too many substitutions, and it's non-competitive to a certain extent. So we're now at the stage tomorrow where the real ball comes out, and everybody's really got to step up to the plate now and try and get themselves in the team and make sure that, you know, that they're there for the season, try and be competitive. We've got a good squad of players, and you know, a big season ahead for us.
How's the team looking for tomorrow?
We've got a suspension with Dean Cowie, but other than that, everybody else is fitting well, so here's hoping.
What are you expecting from the opposition?
I know what to expect for the opposition. They'll work really hard. They've got some good players that that can cause us problems. They beat us down there last year, and we know that if we don't play well, then we could be in trouble, so we need to be at it for the start tomorrow.
You're head down at Montrose tomorrow. Dave, you're going to be along to that one. It should be it's a difficult one to call, isn't it?
Yeah, because the two teams had four pretty close league games last season, Dave, and it's, you know, it's a local derby that adds a bit of extra spice to it, and there's also the need to get the season off to a flying start. You know, this is a big season for the Blue Toon, having won the league last season. They want to get off to a flying start, and they want to kick on and start, you know, moving up through the leagues.
And a prediction for that one?
Prediction for that one, I think it'll be a close-run thing. I think it'll be an open, entertaining game. Some decent players on both sides. I'll go for a 2-0 win for Peterhead.
Yep, and there's quite a few interesting games tomorrow. Of course, we've been playing competitively for, it seems like, a long time already, and the rest of the teams are now gradually catching up.
I know, we feel like we're in mid-season already. It actually kicks off tonight, Queen's Park against Berwick Rangers. Then tomorrow, Airdrie against Albion Rovers. Very best of luck to Darren Young, our old pal from Aberdeen, who's the player-manager at Albion Rovers now. Hearts, they start tomorrow against Annan Athletic. Morton plays Spartans from the Southern League. Highland League Brewer Rangers, they take on Stenhouse Muir. The holders, Raith Rovers, are at Dunfermline, and All Fife Derby, and Elgin City up Stirling Albion, the pick of the other ties.
And again, good luck. I think Brora spent a fair bit of cash last year.
Absolutely, and spent a lot of money, and they won the league at a canter. They will fancy their chances against Stenhouse Muir tomorrow, and also, you know, depending on the luck of the draw, you know, if they draw anybody from the, got to get it right now, Division 2 or Division 1, they'll probably have a sneaking suspicion that they might be able to take them on, particularly up at Dudgeon Park. When they get to Championship sides, I think they're a wee bit short of that, but it'll be interesting to see how they go, certainly. They'll certainly fly the Highland flag with pride.
I'm sure they will, and just what was on football, Cove Rangers take on Dundee in a friendly tomorrow up at Allen Park as well, so... Dundee, of course, in action tonight against Sheffield United as well. So a busy weekend for Paul Hartley and co. Moving away from football, it's day two of the Commonwealth Games, and it's been a pretty impressive start for the host nation, Dave.
Yeah, it certainly has, Dave. Scotland, as we speak, currently third in the medals table behind England and Australia. We have won six golds, three silvers and three bronzes. Aberdonian cyclist Neil Fackie got gold earlier in the men's paracycling tandem time trial today. Last night as well, What a night. Inveruri's Hannah Miley retained her 400 metres individual medley title in the pool. Afterwards, she spoke to our reporter, Colin Mackay.
I worked so hard to try and make sure that happened. So it was kind of wonderful to know that, yeah, I've got to experience it in something that I'll never, ever forget.
A lot of hard work to begin with to get here. But how hard is it when you're actually in the pool? And what's the pool like? Because people keep saying it's fast. What does that mean?
A fast pool's when it's around about 3 metres deep. It's deck level, so there are no high walls, so the water will go straight into a drain, so you've got no washback or waves. And also it's got anti-turbulent lane ropes, so that means that when you swim, the dissipation of the waves goes pretty quickly, so the water stays smooth as possible.
So how big a difference does that make to you when you're swimming in the competition then?
It makes a big difference. I mean, it's very subtle, but it does make a difference. And obviously, just the whole atmosphere, I think, has a huge part to play in it as well. But yeah, it's an incredible pool. It's kind of bizarre to think, you know, from the age of like 11, 12, I've been coming to that pool racing at Scottish Nationals and, you know, doing all sorts of PBs and like little swims or getting beaten, and then to suddenly do a Commonwealth Games there. It was very surreal. For me, my body struggled to kind of cope with the whole situation because I knew I should be nervous and kind of being prepared for, you know, one of the biggest races of my life. And then all of a sudden be turning up at the pool and be like, oh, it feels like Scottish Nationals, you know? Because it's very, very familiar to me. So, yeah, my body was a little bit confused with how I was supposed to feel, but it was good.
But the crowd must have helped. They must have spurred you on.
Yes, they did. They had a huge part to play. They really did spur me on, and I couldn't have done it without them.
And the most recent gold medal, just to bring you up to date, the sixth gold medal for Scotland. It was around about half an hour ago, and it was won by Scotland's Sarah Clark in the women's 63 kilograms judo. Tonight, Aberdeen's Robbie Rennick goes in the final of the 200 metres individual medley in the pool. And the Northeast's Claire Brownie, well done to her. She captained Scotland's netball side to a 58-30 win over St Lucia in their first match.
Yeah, well done to the Thistles, of course. I've got close affinity with them, having done the announcing at the European Championships and some of their other games.
Capacity,
of course, it's
Dave.
A professional capacity. But to go back, Neil Fahey, of course, a huge Dons fan, and he'll have
absolutely
been absolutely delighted by last night's result. And well done to him getting gold again.
Yeah, great for Neil. I mean, he's got his post boxing golden square, and now he's added a Commonwealth gold medal. It must be fantastic for the Scottish athletes going out in front of home crowds, and as Hannah Miley said there, you know, going to places that are familiar, but telling yourself, no, it's not just one of the sort of national meets, which are big enough, but a Commonwealth Games, it's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I haven't seen an awful lot of it. I watched the opening ceremony.
I was in the Netherlands, so I missed it. Mixed reactions, I would say.
Mixed reactions, yeah. Initially you thought, oh my God, what is this we're watching?
But singing shortbread tin.
Yeah, it got better and better as the thing went on. And I think the Scotty Dogs that led the teams out was a huge plus. And
that could have gone alarmingly wrong.
they're very well trained dogs.
They certainly wouldn't have been fed or watered any time recently before the event.
But even the much maligned, you know, kit that or the uniform that the Scottish athletes were wearing actually looked good on the night. So it's all been pluses so far for Scotland.
You bang a version for yourself?
No. Draw the line at that. But it looked good in an athlete.
Yeah, so so we've still got the athletics to start, and that's, to me, it's like the Olympics, you know, absolutely no disrespect to the other sports, but you feel the real competition when the track and field events get underway.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, but I think, you know, having watched the Olympics as much as we probably all did 2 years ago, we're now more au fait with so many more of the sports, and track and field, yeah, it's a big part, but it's by no means the be all and end all. There's the rugby sevens that are going to be getting played at Ibrox as well. There's shooting over in Carnoustie. Lots of chances for Scotland to win more medals, but what a terrific start, because I think, did they win 11, was it, last time out? And that was their best return, and they've got 6 already in the space of a couple of days. So there was high hopes of Scotland doing well, and these hopes are being realised, which is fantastic.
Brilliant. Going back to football, Didier Drogba just recently confirmed that he's back at Chelsea, Dave.
I can see why they've done that, because, you know, he was magnificent first time around at Chelsea. He was a, you know, a real world class player. But how often have you seen in the past, you know, players that are a great success at a club, they go away, they come back, and it just doesn't work. You know, a lot of people say, you know, second time around, it's, you know, it's never so good.
Yeah, I think he's going to be used as an impact sub, to be perfectly honest. I don't see him starting a lot of games. I'm sure Mourinho looks at him and thinks, well, he's the sort of guy that with 20 minutes to go, if we need something, he can come on and turn a game around. And I think that's the role that he will be playing. And it may be as looking longer term to him perhaps being in the coaching staff later on.
I don't think that it'll do too much harm to the Chelsea shop either.
Not at all. I mean, the guy is a legend at Stamford Bridge, let's make no mistake about it. But in terms of forward planning, I think it must be for a coaching job rather than building a side round.
That was part of the deal, that there would be a coaching role. In terms of down south, it's a wee while away, but with Van Gaal now in charge at Man U, it's going to be quite tasty this year.
Yeah, I think you'll see a big improvement with Van Gaal in charge. You know, he's got a track record in different countries of, you know, winning league titles. And, you know, I don't think they'll win the league this coming season, but I think they will mount a serious challenge. They'll certainly finish in a Champions League place.
And Arsenal, again, a lot of movement there. The likes of Sanchez coming on board. Wenger really needs to start delivering.
Well, he's at long last spending some money. I think he probably still needs to spend more. But
they got the League Cup, of course. But
it's an intriguing looking season.
The English Cup, rather.
English Cup, yeah. Intriguing looking season down south. There'll be a lot more money spent in the transfer market between now and the end of August, I'm quite sure. And very difficult at this juncture to see who's going to win anything, but you would imagine it'll come out of the top four or five, the big spenders: Arsenal, Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City.
Yep, that's just about it from Friday Sport. Hope you can enjoy your sport this weekend. From Andrew, from Dave and from myself, have a great weekend.
North Sound 1 Friday Sport with Dunlop Oil and Marine, servicing the oil, gas and petrochemical industries. Dunlop-oil-marine.co.uk.